Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
Today we want to continue in our practice series. As we talked about, we started last week. I gave an overview of what we're going to be talking about throughout the whole summer. So if you have your Bibles, please just turn to Psalm 145. We're going to be looking at the whole psalm together. And so I want to give a quick overview for those of us who are just joining us for the first time, or maybe you've forgotten. So pretty much the reason why we're starting this is we believe that this summer we want to go into deeper discipleship. And it really starts with our intimacy with God. And from there, as we understand more of who God is, there will be greater obedience and dependence on Him, and then we're going to grow spiritually. And the way we do that is through some of these spiritual habits that we've been emphasizing a lot. And so as we talked about growing deeper in our intimacy with God, growing deeper in our discipleship, and thirdly, getting ready for this new year. There's going to be so many transitions. We really need God as we learn how to trust in Him. So what we're going to do, just as another reminder, is that on Sundays we're trying to do things a little bit differently. We're trying to give you more opportunities to interact on Sundays, which we normally don't do. I just end up preaching, but we wanted to give it this opportunity for you to interact with one another. So when we grow together, a lot of it is a journey that you walk with, not just by yourselves, but with other people in your life as we practice the spiritual habits together. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be looking into some insights and also instruction on Sundays. And then in our life group, we're going to have an opportunity to get inspired to come up with some practical things that we can do and then actually implement it together as we have accountability. So that's a little bit of what we're going to try to do throughout the whole summer. So I wanted to start off and ask this question. I'm wondering, have you ever experienced a time when you actually lifted up the name of Jesus, or you gave Him some praise, whether it's singing or speaking forth, and you saw God work powerfully? I don't know about you, but I know for me, there are many times when things get hard, and whether it's just listening to praise music or even just singing or even speaking truths of who God is and praises unto Him, it really does something. I wanted to start off and show you this video of a person named Willis Myrick, and he is a guy who actually, those of you who don't know, he was abducted, he was kidnapped by somebody, and he ended up singing for 3 hours this one praise song over and over again by Hezekiah Walker. And after about 3 hours of driving around, the kidnapper actually let him go. So I wanted you to go ahead and watch this story. And just a 9-year-old kid, a 9 or 10-year-old kid, just singing praises to God in the midst of being kidnapped. But then through that, he experienced deliverance. So let's watch it together. I hope you enjoy that video. As you can tell, can you imagine the kidnapper hearing the song over and over again for 3 hours, and he got so sick and tired of it, he goes, get out of the car. And so there's something powerful, not annoying, but something powerful about praise that it can speak to even those who do not know Him. I'm just wondering for you, when is the last time you remember singing praises to God or even speaking praises about who God is, and you saw God work powerfully? Now, we're not just talking about on Sundays or in life group when you sing a song, but just throughout the week, throughout the day, where you're just giving praises to God for who He is and what He has done in your life. I think for many of us, the practice of giving praise is oftentimes just isolated to just one space throughout the week, when it should be something that is constant in our lives. I love what C.S. Lewis said in his book, Reflections on the Psalms. Listen to what he writes. He says this: the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or giving honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise. My whole more general difficulty about the praise of God depended on my absurdly denying to us as regards the supremely valuable, what we delight to do, what indeed we can't help doing, about everything else we value. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is an appointed consummation. What a powerful insight about praise. that when we enjoy something, when we delight in something and we give praise, it's a completion of what we're enjoying. And that's what really we want to focus in on, that when we are enjoying God and we are enjoying the presence of who Jesus is, that actually our lives will demonstrate a life of praise. And this is something that does not happen. Once again, all of these spiritual habits, it does not come automatically just because you are a Christ follower. You have to train yourself. You have to discipline yourself. But here's the thing. We don't do it to earn favor from God. It's because God has already given us his son, Jesus Christ, as a free gift. And as a response to him, that's why we want to be able to grow closer in intimacy with him, deeper in discipleship, and getting ready for all that he has in store for us. As we continue on, I just want to share just one thing why I believe it's important as we talk about praise, the spiritual practice of praise, that is going to be vital to our deepening of our discipleship, our intimacy with God. So here's the one thing. The one thing is this: our satisfaction in Jesus leads to our adoration of Jesus. So our satisfaction in Jesus leads to our adoration of Jesus. There are two things that I'm going to talk about that fuels the satisfaction in Jesus so that it will translate into this adoration of praise to Jesus. The first thing that we notice is this: we must acknowledge God's greatness. That we must acknowledge God's greatness. The thing that we notice about the psalm, as soon as we read it, you'll notice that it is written by David, King David. And it was a song of praise unto God. And the second thing that you'll notice about this praise is that it gives us various attributes of who God is. And so praise to God is an understanding that's more than just singing, but it really comes down to who God is. His character, his attributes of who he is. And oftentimes those things are linked together, praising God and also understanding his character and his attributes. So in essence, the more you grow in your intimacy with God, the more your life will be filled with praise. And the more your life is filled with praise, the more you will get to know and go closer in intimacy with God. Listen to what the Expository Dictionary of a Bible Word says for the word praise. It defines it in this way: in essence, worship is an expression of respect for him. Individual worship is first of all an attitude of profound respect for God, demonstrated in a life of obedience. First, praise is addressed to God or his name. God himself, his attributes, or his acts are the content of our thoughts, words, and songs. Second, praise is linked with the believing community's joy in the person of God. Most praise comes from those who are filled with a sense of joy in who God is and how deeply he is committed to his people. Third, praise exalts the Lord. It is in praise that the believer implicitly acknowledges creaturely dependence on God and explicitly acknowledges God's greatness and goodness. And this is the reason why we want to explicitly acknowledge God's greatness and goodness, as we will see in this passage, as we experience the great joy of knowing who he is. So I want to go ahead and start reading from verse 1 and 2 and make some comments on that, and then we'll look at the other verses. In Psalm 145, verse 1 and 2, listen to what it says: I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. You know, what David is doing is he's making actually a declaration of how he will extol and exalt God and bless his name forever. Now, it's important to notice here in verse 1, we see that declaring God as he has said, my God and King, which shows us that God is a personal God to David. And this is why he's able to give praise. As I mentioned before, the more intimate and the more knowledge of who God is that we experience in our lives, the more we're able to give praise. So the question I have for all of us is that, is God personal to you? Or is he someone that you kind of worship on Sundays and then on the rest of the day you live your own life? The more your life is filled with praise, what it demonstrates and shows us is that you actually know him in a deeper way. And then in the same way, as you get to know God more, your life will be filled with more praise. And This praise to God is not just David when he feels like it. Look at what it says in verse 2. It says, every day. That's the key. We see that he praises God every single day. Here's my question. What would it be like if every single day you gave praise to God? Even for some of the little things in your mind, you might be like, oh, that's just a small little thing. Well, what would happen if you gave praise to God on a daily basis, every single day? I think it will totally change not only your perspective, but it will change in your understanding of God and realize that he knows you, he loves you, he cares for you. And that is a challenge that I want to put before all of us. Is your mouth filled with praise or is it filled with complaint? Is your mouth filled with praise or is it just filled with complaining to other people about problems or gossip or whatever it may be that does not help in our relationship with God? And that's why I think the question we also have to ask, why all these praise to God? David praised God because of his intimate relationship with him, but why all this praise? And what I want you to understand is David will lay out for us his understanding of God, and this is why it's important. I think he particularly focuses on some attributes of God's greatness. This is what we want to look at. I'm going to read verse 3 to 6. Listen to what it says in verses 3 through 6. It says this, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. So what you see here is, here's David in verse 3. He says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. I want to read it in different translations, and you can just go ahead and say the yellow section with me out loud. Listen to what it says. It says, no one can measure his greatness. The Message translation says this, no boundaries to his greatness. The NIV says, his greatness no one can fathom. And then the Amplified version said, and his greatness is so vast and profound as to be what? Unsearchable, incomprehensible to man. So this idea that we will never fully be able to understand and comprehend the greatness of God. As soon as you think you've understood his greatness, you realize that you've just scratched the surface and it's even greater. And as I was kind of asking myself about my understanding of the greatness of God, the question I had to ask myself, when do I feel and begin to understand at least a little bit more of the greatness of God? I don't know what it is for you, but I know for me, whenever I'm out in nature, that's when I feel the greatness of God. Because I actually get to experience it, witness it, see it for myself. Whether it is a sunset, a beautiful sunset, you see, you're like, wow, the whole sky is God's canvas and he's painting with incredible colors. And you feel this greatness of God, that he's great and awesome. It could be stars at night. I know it's hard to see it in Hong Kong, but when you just go a little bit away, you'll see in some of the dark fields, you see the stars at night, and it's just beautiful when you realize that God put every one of those stars in place. When you just think about the mountains that we are surrounded by and some of the hikes that you go on, you think about the ocean or the sea that's before us, and you just really begin to feel that you're not that great, but God is greater than anything else or anyone else. Listen to some of these different psalms that talks about this. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 4 in the ESV. It says this, the heaven declares the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the ends of the world. I want to read it from the Message translation. It says this, God's glory is on tour in the skies. I love that, that God's glory is on tour. He's touring around in the skies. And it says, God craft on exhibit across the horizon. Madam Day holds classes every morning. Professor Night lectures each evening. Their words aren't heard. Their voices aren't recorded. But their silence fills the earth. Unspoken truth is spoken everywhere. Man, what a great reminder. That's why I love the Message translation sometimes, because it helps us to picture the truth is that all these beautiful things around the beauty that God has created, it's speaking forth, even in its silence, about the glory and the majesty and the greatness of God. Here's another verse in Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4. It says this, "When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that," let's read this together, "you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him." Listen to what it says in the Message translation. "I look up at your mackerel skies, dark and enormous, your handmade sky jewelry, moons and stars mounted in their settings. Then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way?" What a great thought. That everything God makes, it's macro. And then we look at our micro self, our little puny self, and we realize there is no comparison. How great is God? This is why when our satisfaction is in Jesus, it always leads us to an adoration of Jesus. And the way we get satisfied in him is to see how great he is. Great in his love, great in his mercy, great patience towards us. Great is his forgiveness towards us. And as we see his greatness in those areas, we get satisfied in him that no one else can do those things for us. It's only God and God alone. And that's why from our mouths will come forth praise, and we give glory to God and God alone. When we encounter his greatness, what else do we see? We want to praise him. We want to tell others about him. That's why in verse 4, David says that God's greatness is so awesome that one generation will tell another generation about who God is. Even it's further described in verse 5 through 6, as we just read, his mighty acts, his glorious splendor, wondrous works, might, and God's wondrous deeds, all these things, abundant goodness and God's righteousness, all these things are what we can experience. And that's why we are satisfied in him. And that's why we give adoration to him and him alone. Even when you look at verse 4 to 6, you see that this idea of declaring, meditating on it, speaking of it, and singing of it. All these things because of who God is. So we must acknowledge God's greatness. We talked about acknowledging the greatness of God. The second point I want to talk about as we find our satisfaction in Jesus and how that's going to fuel our just adoration of him. The second point I want to make is simply that we must affirm God's goodness, that we have to affirm his goodness. So if you look at the psalm, you will notice two other things as we close out in this latter portion of Psalm 145. The first thing I want to talk about is God's attributes. And secondly, I want to talk about God's actions, his actions towards us. So let's look at the first point here, which is God's attributes. So we have to affirm his goodness, and we do that by acknowledging and affirming his attributes. So let me go ahead and read verse 7 through 13a. This is what the word of God says. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known in the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. So what do we see here? He's going to talk about, as we have just read, all of God's attributes. Well, not all, but some of his attributes. And it's encompassing so many different things. You see the phrase, pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. We see that in verse 7. Let me give you other translations to help you to understand that. The New Living Translation says this, and you can read the yellow section with me. It says, everyone will what? Share the story of your wonderful goodness. So when you begin to understand his goodness, you're going to want to share it, the story of who God is, to other people. And then the New American Standard Bible says this, they shall what? Eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness. The Amplified Version says that they will overflow like a fountain when they speak of your great and abundant goodness. So this following verses, what we notice is that God's goodness is being described. How is it being described? Well, he's gracious. He's merciful. He's slow to anger, abounding in love, in the steadfast love. God is good to all, in all with his mercy and all over his creation. I want to just remember, help you to remember these four attributes that was mentioned here in verse 8 and 9. It's that idea of slow to anger, abounding in love. He mentions this over and over again. God does all throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. And that's why you see this repeated in Psalm 86, verse 15, Psalm 103, verse 8. It appears in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 17, and even in Joel chapter 2, verse 13. And I think the one that all of us know, the one that's really famous, is found in the book of Jonah. As you realize that, if you remember the story, that instead of going to Nineveh, he went over to Tarshish in disobedience to God. But God, in his love, brought Jonah back to his destiny, his plan for him, and he shared the gospel, and many people in Nineveh came to know Jesus Christ. And do you remember what God said when Jonah did not like that, giving mercy and grace to people he did not like? Let me read it for you in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. It says this: "And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you were what? A gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster." So once again, even Jonah knew who God was and what he was able to do. And then in verse 13a, we see God's goodness is even displayed in his power and his kingdom that rules throughout all generation. I'm wondering how many of us can say that we've experienced the goodness of God. See, our satisfaction in Jesus, what it does is it helps us, it leads us, fuels us to be able to give adoration to Jesus. And a lot of it comes back to knowing the attributes of God, who he is, that he loves us. The second point that I was mentioning was not only the attribute of God's goodness, but I want you to see the actions that display his goodness. And when we look at verse 13b all the way to verse 21, you will see this. And I'm just going to read it quickly, and then I'm going to just give you all the highlights of all the different attributes of God and how God acts towards us. God, a perfect and holy God, acting towards sinful people like us. So let's read Psalm 145, verse 13b through 21. It says this. It says, "The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praises," or praise of him, "praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." So what I want to do is just help highlight God's actions towards us, and so that it will display his attribute of his goodness. So the first thing is this: God stays true to his promise. What a great reminder that he is faithful and true to his promise. Everything that he has promised, he will fulfill. We see that in verse 13b. The second thing we notice is God supports us in our struggle. You see this in verse 14. Listen to what it says in the New Living Translation, NLT. It says this: "The Lord helps the fallen and lifts those bent beneath their loads." This idea that we are a heavy burden, that we have these loads that we carry, but it says here God is supporting us in our struggle. Isn't he good? That shows us his goodness to us. The third thing we notice is God supplies us in our need. That's what we see in verse 15, that when our eyes look to God and then we express our faith and trust in him, that he will always provide for all that we need. Listen to what it says in the Amplified version of that phrase: "The eyes of all look to you in hopeful expectation. We are hopeful in the expectation that God will work. That's why the phrase, I love this phrase, in due season. What it should remind us is that God's timing is impeccable. For many of us, we want God to do things on our own time, but in due season, He will provide for us. That's why we have to trust in Him. The fourth thing that we notice is God satisfies us with our desires. We see this in verse 16. It says, you open up your hands. That's a powerful imagery of the generosity of God. He opens His hands towards us. Now, I need to make sure that we're clear on this. It doesn't mean He will give us everything that we want, but He will always provide the thing that we need. That's why we have to trust. As our hearts are delighting in Him, He will give us the desires of our hearts. The fifth thing that we see here is God secures us in His righteousness. We see this in verse 7, that when we know that someone is consistent, think about this. What does it do to us? It helps us to trust. It helps us to have faith. And that's why we are able to trust even more. So part of learning how to affirm God's goodness is to think back to the times where He has been good. He has provided. And from there, you are encouraged to continue on in affirming His goodness and who He is. And number 6, God stands with us in truth. We see this in verse 18. It says that God is near to all who call on Him. That's why He's waiting for us when we're struggling, when things are hard. To experience the goodness of God is to call out to Him. Number 7, He saves us when we are desperate. In verse 19, that He's longing to save us. He's wanting us to cry out to Him. And then lastly, God sustains us against evil. We see this in verse 20. The word preserves means to keep, or to protect, or to take care of, or to watch over. So the Lord preserves. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who watches over us. He protects us from the evil one. That's why we have confidence. This is why we can say God is so good, even though all these things are happening around us, that His goodness helps us and sustains us. So the question is, how can all these things, these attributes of God, the actions of God in His goodness towards us, not satisfy us in Jesus Christ? How can it not? And that's why we are called to give praises and adoration to Jesus and to Jesus alone. I want you to also notice in verse 21, David once again mentions, my mouth will speak of the praises, will speak the praises of the Lord. As he thinks through all the goodness, all the greatness of God, he is now saying, I want to praise God. Because once you know Him in His attributes, in His actions towards us, that's when we're going to lift up praise to Him and Him alone. So once again, the one thing that we shared earlier is that our satisfaction in Jesus leads to our adoration of Jesus. The more we know Him, the more satisfied we are in Him, and the more we're able to adore and lift up praises to Him. And the more we lift up praises to Him, the more we can testify as we know Him that He's the only one who can satisfy us. Let me quickly give us some next steps, and then we'll close here. And I think probably the best and the most appropriate thing to do is for us to spend the rest of our time worshiping and giving praise to Jesus. Here are three things that I want you to think about. The first thing is this, is to share or to speak praises, to speak praises. You know, one of the things that I've been trying to encourage people is to not say things like, how are things going? And it's really easy to then say, oh, well, things, you know, things are okay. And the reason why I say that, I'm not saying it's wrong. You can say it. But the thing is that it is really easy to make it the focus on us. So one of the things when you want to speak praises is to ask the question, how has God been good to you lately? How has God shown you His greatness? Because then when you do ask it that way, then that person is able to then talk about how God has been good to them, how God has been great in His greatness, how He has worked in our lives. So speak praises by sometimes asking the right questions, and which is simply, how has God been good to you? Make this a practice in your life. The second thing I will say is share praises. To take some time to share with one another some of the different praises that have been going on. You can share it in so many different ways. As a testimony, you could write it down, but to be able to share some praises. Some of you are always afraid of sharing your testimony to your coworkers, or maybe to your classmates because they're pre-Christians. And I'm telling you, if you want to think of a way to share who Jesus is share the praises of what he has done, not what you have done, but what he has done. So share some of those praises. Not only speak praises, but to share praises. And lastly, sing praises. Because when you're able to sing some of these praises to God, and especially if the songs are Christ-centered, then what it does is it allows you to redirect your attention on the most important person in your life, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's why, that's the beauty of the gospel, is that he has been good to us, that he is great. And what he demonstrated for us on the cross, Jesus Christ, it satisfies us in everything that we need, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's love, acceptance, whatever it may be for us to feel important or cherished and for us to be known, that he has done that. And therefore, our lives will then translate into praise to him and him alone. So once again, we want to encourage you to live this life of praise. It takes practice. Continue to do that throughout Life Group this week. And as we close out our time now, we're just going to give it over to the worship team and have them lead us in a time of worship. And let's just sing praises to God. And this is the beautiful part. God is tone deaf, all right? So it doesn't matter how you sound. Just sing your praises to God. Let's focus on him and what he has done for us. And let's leave today encouraged and saying, I'm going to practice this spiritual habit of praise. So God bless you. Continue to pray for us and hope to see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.